very long, the information governance manager for Digital by Design. So I'm basically advising Stockport Council on how to share data compliantly, efficiently and effectively. So can we do it, and how do we do it? The answer is, if it's fair, if you think that this will help citizens, then yes, you absolutely can do it. We'll go on to how you can do it. So if you could all write down a data sharing initiative that you would like to do with a partner organisation. So if you think of data sharing as restricted data to restricted organisations for restricted purposes, so if you can think of, you might want to say, oh, I want to work more closely with the NHS for safeguarding purposes for children, or I would like to work closer with probation for public health services, or for improving education. So if you could all think of something, I'll give you a couple of minutes, and there's pen and paper in front of you if you'd like to write it down. You can do it in a group or individually, that's fine. So you might want to think thematically. So for example, you might want to think about neighbourhoods. So think thematically like that. So that might be sharing with the police, sharing with certain aspects of the antisocial behaviour unit in the council, with the NHS. So think thematically like that, and then you'd be able to set up data sharing with numerous organisations. Right. So you've got another 30 seconds to think of your data sharing initiative. Right, 3, 2, 1. Right, so everyone should have their data sharing initiative proposal on paper, and then the process from that idea would be something like, you have a look at, we're going to go through all this in a minute, by the way, I don't expect you to know what this means right now. So you go through the conditions for processing, this is the legal side of data sharing. You'd look at the legislation that enables you to be able to share. You would think about, is this fair? Are we intruding on people's privacy? Have we let people know? So transparency. Negotiations with other organisations, so it's all well and good having a good plan, but data sharing is about cooperation with other organisations, so you need to get them on board. You need to lock all of that in with a data sharing agreement, which includes your mechanisms for sharing, and then you need to actually do it. So at the end of all that process, you need to follow the mechanisms for sharing, actually do the data sharing, and get those benefits that you've worked really hard for. So these are conditions for processing. So the ones that we mainly use is the second to bottom one. The processing is necessary for administrating justice or for exercising statutory, governmental, or other public functions. So this means that if it's necessary to perform a governmental function, then we can share. That is the legal part of it. So the legislative backing will normally be one of these. So the Localism Act 2011 says that councils can innovatively use, can be innovative basically, but in this section it means that you can innovatively use data to perform services in a better way. We could also use the Children's Act 2014 if we're thinking about sharing for safeguarding purposes. This is actually not just an enabling act. This says that you have to share. You have to share data to safeguard children. The same goes for the Health and Social Care Act 2015. Well, that is for adult social care and health. It says that you have to share data for direct care of adults and adult social care and for health benefits. So the same goes for all of those. So if you could pick one of those that you think would be the legislative backing for the data sharing initiative that you've written down. So you don't have to be accurate. And if you're not sure, you can just have a quick Google on Wikipedia. So, this year, well, what have you picked?
Well, we've got two actually, but we looked at their digital need data sharing that with children and national services.
Yeah.
So, privacy, imagine like
Yeah, so it can be more than one. So, you'd probably use the Children's Act and the Health and Social Care Act, and then you would say that because you're using it innovatively to sort of fill in the holes of direct care, you would use the Localism Act at the top. There's probably other ones that you would use in there, maybe the Mental Capacity Act or other aspects of that. But you don't have to overthink it. If you've got legislation that will cover all of it, you don't need to put in every single bit. This is really useful for that, because a lot of the time they say, oh, data protection, and you go, well, actually no, not data protection, because it's this condition for processing, it's this legislation. So basically the only barrier to sharing is that you would prefer to not share with us. And then for stuff like the Children's Act and the Health and Social Care Act, it's saying, well, it's not saying that you can share, it's saying that you have to, like, you have to share with us. So it's taking that to the table and being maybe a little bit more forceful with them. So has everybody got one that they think might fit? So over here, what have we got? So what's your initiative that you think?
To clear homelessness.
Homelessness. And then what legislation do you think might help?
Well, it's not just the Localism Act, because there's other organisations that can potentially help on top of the police, the health and the local authority.
Yeah.
That keep their own records at the moment, but they're a private organisation.
Mm.
So I was struggling to think whether, because I've not read the Health and Social Care Act,
I wasn't expecting everyone to have read all of the guests, don't worry. Just, you know, 50%, that's all. That was a joke, by the way.
I don't know if those would be included from a private organisation with any of those.
It depends on the private organisation whether they would be doing work for you or with you. Because if they're doing work for you, that is a data processing agreement, which is completely separate to this. So here, you're giving another organisation your data to use for their own means. I mean, those means are restricted, but they're not just doing a job for you. Where data processing agreements, they're literally doing a job for you. They're working as part of the council. So you don't need to go through all of this. You just need to get them to sign a data processing agreement that says that they will only use the data for the purposes that you've given it to them, and they won't use it for their own purposes, that they'll keep it separately, that they'll delete it at an appropriate time. However, if you're thinking of setting up partnerships with, say, charities and not-for-profits to help, then you would use these, or you would use things like the processing is carried out by a not-for-profit organisation and doesn't involve disclosing person data further. So, yes.
Yeah.
Is everyone happy with they've got something written down about which one they might use for their initiative? Is everyone happy? Okay. So after you've, so this is for sensitive personal information. So personal information, you would need to fit into just one of the conditions for processing. Sensitive personal information, which is like health data, criminal record data, things about people's sex life or religion, things like that, you would also need one of these. Although again, second from bottom, we would probably use the same condition for processing on this. The processing is necessary for administration justice or for exercising statutory or governmental functions. Is everyone happy with that? Yeah. So just as important as the legal basis is fairness. So in the Data Protection Act, it says that your processing has to be legal and fair. So if it's not fair, it's also not legal because it's legislated that it has to be fair. So if you could have a chat in between yourselves about whether you think that the initiative that you've written down is ethical. So things that you need to think about is, would citizens reasonably expect this processing to happen? Is it a proportional approach? For example, if you're trying to get people to stop littering, putting GPS trackers on everyone who has littered, yes, it would be effective. Would it be proportional? Probably not. And are you infringing on people's privacy? So if you could have a think amongst yourselves on whether you think that your initiative would be fair.
Yeah.
Right, so that is your time up on the fairness aspect. So I'm going to pick on the table at the back there. Would you be able to let me know whether your data sharing initiative was fair? Did you deliberate? It's just an initiative. Anyone? No. You didn't deliberate or it wasn't fair.
We're having fantastic conversations about the theory, but okay,
so have you thought of a data sharing initiative? No? Okay, so one that we've recently set up would be public health. So people self-refer themselves in, and then we refer them out to different partners. We also check up on them from things like probation and from the Foundation Trust. This is consented because they've self-referred and they've let and they've let us know that they're happy for us to process that data. So that doesn't mean that you need the consent to process the data for every data sharing initiative. That's just how we made that particular one fair. So what that does, it helps with getting people exercising. It also helps with more serious things like mental health and alcoholism. Another one we've done recently is Stockport Family, which is different sort of cross-organisational working, bringing all of them together. That's not consented. We don't ask children or their parents whether we're allowed to share that data, because we have the legislative backing of the Children's Act 2004, which says that we are not only allowed, but we have to share that data for safeguarding purposes. Children's data is generally easy to get people to sign up to, because a lot of the major case reviews show that things could have been picked up sooner if better data sharing mechanisms were in place. So that's a bit of an easy one, really, for children's. It gets more difficult when you're getting down the sort of corporate view, so catching people who are for benefit fraud, for example. That's a lot more difficult to decide whether your approach is proportional. So, for example, somebody says they're a single mother. What is a proportional approach to catching them out? You know, you don't want to infringe on their privacy. We're not going to assume everybody's lying. So how do we share data and collect data in a proportional manner to try and catch people who are defrauding, you know, the public purse, but without infringing on privacy? It's sort of those areas which are really grey, and there's not a... You know, there's not a legislative stance on that. It's not, there's not a piece of legislation that says this is fine and this isn't. You just got to use your organisational sort of risk appetite and think about how big a problem is this, that sort of thing.
But couldn't that not come back on you, the later data that was challenging court, even if legislation has changed slightly in the future, but that didn't affect past case, but court really...
I mean, yeah, it is, that's why you've got to think of your risk appetite. You've also got to think about how much of a problem actually is this, and are we intruding upon, you know, is it actually just like the 0.01%, and are we infringing on 100% of applicants' privacy just to catch actually this tiny amount? And, you know, even if a lot of people were doing it, what is proportional to this crime? You know, surely, again, the tracking device, thinking of tracking device in every benefit claimant, very much so not proportional. So you've got to think, well, what's fair? Where does the line blur between, you know, us having a right to protect the public purse and people having a right to privacy? So you've just got to try and finely tune that balance. You've just got to take a view on it and yeah, have that signed off by senior management, and that's all you can do, really.
You have
the cyber risk
information.
Well, yeah, so
there's a no risk in terms of that information. The cyber is ultimately accountable.
Yeah, so the later, so on the agreement, so this is a couple of steps in. So you'd have agreement of risk parameters and sign off by senior management and all participating organisations. So sometimes that would be the information asset owner who is at director level, and sometimes if it's a very big complex with complex risk parameters, you would have the CSIRO sign off on that. So a big part of transparency, of fairness, is transparency. So even if you're not using consent, you should let people know how you are using their data. So this is on collection. You would have a little couple of sentences saying, we primarily use your data for administrating your benefit claim, for example. We may share your data with the DWP. Please click here to see more. And then you would have an organisational notice which would say, this is who we share data with, this is how we use your information, and it would be very clear to people how you're using it. This is also how you obtain consent. You'd explain what you would like to do, and you have a tick box to ensure that people have given a clear indicator of consent. So yeah, that's a big help. So mechanisms for sharing. It's all well and good having your legal basis, ensuring it's fair, which I think is the most complex part. Your mechanisms for sharing is what do you have available to you and how much are you willing to invest in better mechanisms for sharing. So for example, the single view, the 360 view of a citizen that we were just shown by Sunderland Council, that is a mechanism for sharing. So all of the organisations have an input to that, and you can see the key facts about people, how often they've called a contact centre, whether they've had contact with the police. So that is a mechanism for sharing. It can also just be an email. So for example, we email to NHS nurses a list of children and what school they go to. We email that on a monthly basis. So it can be pretty low tech as an email, or it can be as high tech as APIs pulling in different data to a single viewer. So if you could think in your groups about what mechanisms for sharing you would use for your data sharing initiative, which is available to you right now, what you can use right now, and then what would be your best practice, what do you think would be the best state you could be in, money no object, to be able to see these things in a state that you would like.
Come on.
Mechanisms for sharing, how you would actually share the data. Okay. So, the agreement. So now you have something to, a proposal to take to senior management. It's better to take it to your information asset owner, so to your senior manager, your director of the area, and ask them to call their counterpart in the organisations that you would like to share with. Because then it can actually get put on someone's workflow. If you manage, if I was to email somebody at my level, I would just be trying to give them work and they would probably not do it. However, if that comes from their senior management, then they sort of have to do it. So it gets it put on their business as usual. So you have a proposal. You're not just saying, hey, let's share data. You're saying, we've got a legal basis. We've assessed whether it's fair. We've got buy-in from our senior management. We've got a proposal of a mechanism for sharing. Let's sit round a table and talk this out. Now, your mechanism for sharing might not stand up from day one of negotiations. It might say, no, we don't like that. Our risk appetite is much, we don't like that. It's not secure enough. We would like it. We don't like email, we would prefer it to be an API, for example. So police are generally more open to sharing because they're data, they're an intelligent sharing organisation. People like the DWP, much more difficult to share with. The NHS are really difficult to get data out of. So you're best to go to the easiest, most likely to agree first. Because if you have buy-in from an organisation and you say, well, look, like a couple of councils and the police are on board, jump on board. Nobody wants to be the first, apart from the police. So you get buy-in first of all. You get an agreement on how you're going to actually share. You would lay out the parameters of exactly what they can and cannot do with the data. So this is, it's not a free-for-all. You would have to have access rights. Because it's necessary to perform statutory public and governmental functions. So if you were to share that data about safeguarding children, they would only be able to use it for associated purposes. And if they wanted to extend that, they would have to get permission from the data owners, which is ourselves. So yeah, you would lay out sort of security, you would lay out access rights, you would ensure that they had the correct governance infrastructure and training in place. So generally you get a signed letter from the CIRO, from the Senior Information Risk Owner, to say that they had the correct framework in place. Or better yet, you would get something like the IG toolkit, which they have to perform for the NHS, to evidence that they have the correct framework in place. And then you would have an agreement of what you of all the risks, and you would accept the evidence, and the senior management in all participating organisations would sign off on it, hopefully. So to summarise, we would like to create a yes culture. It is complex, and it's not, some of it isn't comfortable, especially the fairness aspects of it. You're having ethical, theoretical conversations that aren't locked down in legislation, but you can do it. Just take it step by step, have a look at the legal basis, have a look at the fairness, have a look at how you can share, and then get it all locked in an agreement, and you can actually end up sharing data for the public good. And that's it. Sorry, we don't have time for questions.
I knew they were on.
I didn't! You wondered.
You
wondered.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I sped up mine really quick. And you slowed me down. Right.